All right, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of James. And this book is probably the most misunderstood book in all of the Bible. And the primary reason is, as the scholars didn't understand it, and they tried to make it to be written, as Scofield put in his notes, by the 12 tribes scattered abroad were to understand Christian Jews, not Jews. Well, he's 180 degrees out of phase. And the 8 consulting editors that were with him, because I'm sure there was a discussion. But this book was written to unsaved Jews. And the purpose of it is, I've already taken you over to the 5th chapter, and, showing you that as we get into that last chapter, there's no question that this is to bring unsaved Jews to Christ for salvation. But because the translators didn't understand what they were translating, and they undoubtedly thought the same way as the so-called scholars have thought, the churches under the canopy of Christianity that want to make our lives so important. Now, when I say that, yes, I'm a Christian. Does that mean I'm sinless? No. If I should say that I think I'm sinless, I'm arguing with God. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many? Not even one. See? So should we run to the same excess of riot that we formerly did? Well, the scripture says no, that we don't. But that, can we live a perfect life? No. And we have people, because so many under the canopy of Christianity try to teach that now that we're saved, we don't sin anymore. And that's utter nonsense. You know? So we're called hypocrites. And I suppose they're right in one sense of the word. A hypocrite is, in the English language, is somebody who claims to be one thing and does just the opposite. But in the Greek text of the New Testament, the word for that's transliterated, hypocrite, is hypocrites, and hypocrites was an actor on a stage. He was playing a role. And I would say in most of the churches under the canopy of Christianity, the majority of the people who attend are doing just exactly that. They are hypocrites. They're actors. They're pretenders. I don't say that to be mean-spirited or to say that I'm better than they are. I'm not. But I'm not pretending to be something I'm not. You know, that's what an actor does. He plays a role. I, when I hear Nero talking about going to take Trump out and punch him and do this and that, I want to say to him, Robert, this isn't the movies. They don't say cut and put an extra in to throw the punches.
Right.
You know. And, you know, you get in the fight, you know, and I doubt that he's a little bitty guy and Trump's a great big guy. I doubt there'd be much of a fight. Yeah. But there's no reason for us to pretend. You know, the scripture is very clear. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. If you look at your own heart, you know, and Jesus said to the Jews, trying to show them that they couldn't keep the law, he said, if you look on a woman to lust after in her heart, well, what man with any testosterone at all hasn't done that? You know, he has, you know. That you've committed adultery already with her in your heart. Yeah, that doesn't necessarily that you actually commit adultery, but in your mind you have. You see? And Jesus said to those Jews, and there was a lot of hatred amongst the Jews, and a lot of hatred. It's women, oh, she, you know, she snubbed me, or she did this, or she did that. And they have hatred in their heart. Well, according to the Word of God, they're murderesses, you know. If man has hatred in his heart, he's a murderer. You don't have to actually take a 357 Magnum, or you know, today they're trying to get rid of all of the automatic weapons, you know. And the First and Second Amendment of the Constitution are pretty important. And that Second Amendment gives us the right to keep and bear arms. And in countries, you know, a few people know this, but whenever Hitler and his German armies invaded a country like France or, you know, Belgium or any of the countries throughout Europe, the first thing they confiscated were the gun records. And then they confiscated the guns. Now, the French resistance managed to keep some guns hidden. And there were various groups in other countries that managed to keep some guns hidden, you know. But we need to understand who we are and what we are. And we're not playing a game, you know. We're not pretending to be, I'm so holy, I wouldn't say, if I had a mouthful. I thought it'd be better if I didn't say it. But everybody knows what I'm talking about, you know. And why do we know what we are? I'm dying. Because we've said it at some point in our life. Okay, let's go to the end of the third chapter. I preached on this before, but this portion of Scripture is so very important. And James writes to the Jews, and we know that in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, that Solomon used the word wise or wisdom to denote salvation. And so since this is written to Jews and they were familiar with the writings of Solomon, he says, who is a wise man among you? Now we're not talking about, you know, are you smart enough to build a company like Amazon and be the richest man in the world or anything of a sort. We're talking about salvation, you know. Who's a wise man among you? Okay, now, these Jews were the custodians of the truth for 1,500 years. So, to expect that perhaps some of them that had been scattered abroad, and we're going to see why they were scattered abroad this morning. We're going to look at several passages in Jeremiah and see what God had to say about them. But who is a wise man among you? Well, and endued with knowledge. Now, the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. And, you know, you can't just pick up the Bible and read it. And people who try, what a mess they make of what's there, you know. They get the idea, well, God told the Jews to do this, and they never did it, and that's right, because they couldn't do it. See? So what was the law given for? To condemn them. Yeah. For 2,500 years of human history, the only condemnation was Solomon writing about in Proverbs says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He said it in the 14th chapter. He said it again in the 16th chapter. So it's important. He repeated it. So what seems right to man? What's the basis of all of the religions of the world? Every single religious system in this world is based upon man's morality. What must I do to be good enough to be accepted of whatever God I believe in? And let's turn for just a moment so we get this straight, so that we know that what Adam and Eve did. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. I flipped too far here. Okay, 1 John chapter 2. Now, the word world is the word cosmos. It's used in various ways in Scripture. And the Greek word, could be the order of things. Okay? And that's the sense in which it's used here. So in verse 15, it says, love not the world or the present order of things. Now, what is the present order of things as far as mankind is concerned? The religions of the world, do good, get good, do bad, get bad. You know, they're all based upon that. That's what the devil deceived Eve with. She was already in the image of God. And he said to her, you won't really die, will you, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? For God, Elohim, is the Hebrew word, which is the plural form of God, which means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit know that in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. Now, by our morality, does anyone know God? Absolutely not. That's where all the false religious systems of the world came from. And we're going to see why, when we get into this fourth chapter of James, why James called them ye adulterers and adulteresses. Genuine believers can't be called adulterers and adulteresses. And we'll see what that means in the Old Testament. It means you were worshiping false gods. So it's like a woman or a man being unfaithful to their wife and being with another man or another woman, okay, in an intimate relationship. And that was very common in the worship of all of the ancient religions. That's what made them so popular. You know, it was like Woodstock. Let's go have fun. Let's go get drunk. Let's go commit adultery or fornication. So that they did that to what? Worship God. It almost sounds ludicrous, and it is. People could think that they could worship God by breaking the commandments which he gave to the nation of Israel to show them that they weren't as good as they thought they were. And then he told them in the fifth chapter of Matthew, he said to them, basically, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Can any one of us be naive enough to think that we can be perfect? Yeah. So was Jesus telling them to do something that was impossible? No, he was illustrating, this is what the law requires, perfection. And since you're a sinner and lost, you can't provide the perfection that God demands. That's why we need a vicarious atonement. With the giving of the law, if you read the book of Exodus from the 20th chapter on through 19th chapter, the Jews said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And in the 20th chapter, we have the Ten Commandments. And at the end of that chapter, then Moses gives instructions, by inspiration from God. If you're going to make an altar, make it out of earth. It's dirt cheap. Whosoever will may come. Okay. And so after giving the law, he immediately gives them the remedy for not being able to keep the law. And then if you make it out of stone, don't make it out of carved stone, because the moment you put your hand to it to cut these stones to make it really pretty, you've polluted it. You give some man, look at the beautiful altar I built to worship the Lord. Okay. So salvation's dirt cheap, so to speak, from our point of view. Doesn't cost us anything. Cost the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who became a man by the virgin birth so that he be both God and man, and live his life as a Jew under the law, and fulfill every jot and tittle of the law, and then be sacrificed for sin. But in him was no sin at all. For the very fact that he was hanged on the cross, cursed is everyone that does what? Hangeth on a tree. And what does the scripture also say? Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. So Jesus bore your curse and my curse on the cross. And because he bore it, we don't have to bear it. That's what salvation is about. You know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So when we get these things straight, let's continue with this statement in love not the world, the cosmos, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh. What did Eve see when she looks at that tree? She saw that it was good for food. Do you want to satisfy your appetite? You know, you're really hungry? Boy, bring on that prime rib. Debbie and we had all kinds of food for Thanksgiving, but they did prime rib this year. Very well done. You know, but you don't eat as much when you have prime rib as you do when you have turkey. I don't know why either. Maybe it's the stuffing and all the other stuff, but we had all that stuff too. But of course, I learned long ago at my age, I fill my plate once and that's it. Because I'm losing height. I used to be 5'8". I was told the other day I'm 5'6". You know, Eric was talking about different body types in one of his messages recently. Yeah, and I said, yeah, I'm that short little fat guy. I just carry all my weight from a waist up. Years ago, do any of you know who Betty Grable was? Betty Grable was known for her beautiful legs. And at that point in time, my ankles were the same as Betty Grable's. My calves were the same as Betty Grable's. My thighs were the same as Betty Grable's. But my legs sure didn't look like Betty Grable's. Women have an extra layer of fat. Don't tell them that. That upsets them. And that's why they've got a smoother, rounded figure. You know, with us, you can see the bones. Okay. Getting back to this. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh. We commented on that. The lust of the eyes. When she looked at the tree, she saw it was a tree that, you know, or it was pleasant to the eyes. Okay. And then he says, the pride of life, or the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You can be like God. And you know, Eve never ever thought of the fact that Adam was created in the image of God, and she was created from a rib from Adam's side, so she too was in the image of God. So when the devil offered her something, she already had. Yeah. And that's what the false religious systems of the world are all about. They're all based upon a lie. And I quote it all the time, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. What is it? That man gets to heaven by the life that he lives, by his morality. But there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So you've got a conundrum. And that's a great mystery. If you get to heaven by being good, and how many good are there? There's none. Good, not even one. See? So you can see that the religions of the world are a little confused. You know, biblical Christianity, though, and biblical Judaism. The Jews were given the law, but they couldn't keep it. So then they were given the tabernacle and the sacrificial system to point them to faith in Christ. What was the tabernacle in the wilderness? A picture of Jesus Christ. Make me a dwelling or a building that I may dwell with you. Who is God with us? Jesus Christ. So the tabernacle represents Jesus Christ. and with the tabernacle's the sacrificial system. And the only sacrifice that can take away our sins is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know? It's right straightforward. So are all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now read the next statement. Is not of the Father. So, if you get to God by, these things that you got from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or from morality, that's what the knowledge of good and evil is, how can you get to heaven by being moral when morality is not of God? You know, it's not of the Father. Morality is the devil's lie, because there's no one who is truly moral. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, let's go back to our text then. He asks the question in verse 13, who's a wise man in the third chapter and endued with knowledge? The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. So if you're going to truly be a saved God and have the knowledge of God, you have to be saved. Well, then let him show out of a good manner of life, that's what the word conversation means, his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, we've already looked at what are the works of God. Abraham had works, and a whore, Rahab the harlot, had works. Now, Abraham's works were that he believed that if he put his son to death, God would raise him to life again. So when he was told to take now thy son, thine only son, and get thee into a mount that I will show you, Isaac represents Jesus Christ. And as they were ascending that mountain, the son said, well, I see the wood, and I see the fire, but where is the lamb for an offering? And Abraham answered his son, God will provide himself. And you can take that literally. God did provide himself in the person of Jesus Christ to make a ransom for sin, for he was the only one who could. You know, he had to be justified or be holy, be righteous, be just. He's the only one who could keep the law, because therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. It takes God to keep the law. Okay. So, this is all counteracting that lie, which is the basis of every religious system in the world. It's the basis for Judaism, as the Jews practice it, not as God gave it to them. It's the basis for Christianity, not as the Lord Jesus Christ gave it to us and the apostles, but as man has, you know, inserted his ideas, and so, it's all about morality, and morality is the devil's lie, okay? So, he says then, but if ye have bitter envy, now he's talking to these Jews of the 12 tribes scattered abroad, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, then they did. What did they say about Jesus Christ, who did works before them like they had never seen before? Only works that God could do. And they agreed with, crucify him. The high priest and the Sanhedrin council stirred him up and said, if you don't put him to death, you're not Caesar's friend. You know, so Pilate said, okay, crucify him. And so he was crucified, but he was innocent. But he had to be crucified because cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, and cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So Christ bore your curse. He bore my curse. And because he bore it, he can declare us to be holy, to be righteous, to be just. We have imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness. We didn't earn it. We didn't gain it. It was charged to our account. It's like you, you go on a shopping spree and you say, "Hello, boy, I just got my credit card bill and I can't possibly pay for this." And somebody else steps in and pays for it. And that's what the Lord did with respect to sin. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, and that's what the Jews were like, glory not, and lie not against the truth. They were given the truth, the law to show them that they were guilty, the pattern of the tabernacle and the sacrificial system to show the solution. Now, the blood of bulls and beasts could never take away sin, but they represented the one who could, Jesus Christ. So this wisdom, that is, the system of religion that you have, descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, it says it's devilish, it's actually, daemon is the Greek word, it's demonic. You know, it's contrary to God. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that's from above, or the salvation that God has provided, is first pure. You know, you can't find any fault in it. It's peaceable. We have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and we have peace with God. It's gentle. You can't get any more gentle than salvation by grace. Here's something for nothing. I don't require anything from you except believe me. Okay? And easy to be entreated. You know, does God give us anything that we have to do to assure that we're going to make it to heaven? Not one thing. So it's easy to be entreated. There's no burdens. Full of mercy. Well, we need mercy because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And good fruits. You know, God has, think about this. I'm preaching now by the power of the Spirit of God. I don't have the natural ability to do what I'm doing. But God has given me the gift of doing it. And then He enables me by bringing to my remembrance verses of Scripture that I've read. Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or putting the Word of God together properly. And so I can sit up here with no notes, you know, and preach things that I haven't thought about or looked at for some time. You know. But Jesus said that the Spirit of God that was with you in the Old Testament will then be in you and will never leave you nor forsake you. And He gives each one of us a spiritual gift according to 1 Corinthians chapters, 11 through 13? I think that's correct. But we're given spiritual gifts. And so we do things. Some of you have the gift of prayer. For me, most of my prayers are very short. And some people have the power of intercessory prayer. And it's a gift. And some can pray as long as I'll preach this morning. So he tells them then, from whence, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Okay. The fruit of righteousness. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And how do we have it? Two ways. We have peace with God, and we have the peace of God that passeth all understanding of them that make peace. And how do we make peace? You know, so many people read this and say, we need to bring world peace. And when the Antichrist comes and promises the world peace, they're all going to fall for it. There's not going to be any peace in this world until the Prince of Peace comes. And the Prince of Peace is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Antichrist is going to, for the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period, he's going to think, oh, wow, we've got everything. And he's going to tear down the Mosque of Omar and build a temple for the Jews on the Mount, Temple Mount. And it'll be there again. And he, because he is the author of all of the religions of the world, all of the religions of the world will agree with him because they'll think that whatever they call their Messiah You know, they're promised one, and virtually all of them are looking for someone to come, and the devil's going to satisfy that in a counterfeit return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know? And so that's what's coming, and the world's going to be deceived by it. And there won't be anybody here to tell them otherwise, because before that can happen, or almost simultaneously with the coming of the Antichrist, we're going to have the first resurrection. All of us who know the truth are going to be caught away. And for a short period of time, there won't be anybody on this earth to testify of the truth. But then shortly after the Antichrist deceives everyone, and the Jews think they're dwelling safely, then God's going to send 144,000 witnesses, and I believe they're Jews who were raised with Christ. But you remember the graves, there was an earthquake while the Lord was on the cross, and the graves were open. They could see the dead bodies in the grave. And the scripture tells us, I think it's over in Matthew, that after Christ was raised, I think it's Luke rather than Matthew. Anyway, but after Christ was raised, they were raised. So Christ, and they're called the first fruits, and Christ is called the first fruits. So Christ was raised first, and then they were raised with him. And when he ascended to heaven, they ascended with him. That's why he was taken up in the clouds. They were clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is likened unto white garments. See? So when we look at this, he says to these Jews, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Now, the word among you isn't there. It's a mistranslation. He says, from whence come wars and fightings in you? Now, anyone who thinks that they can be justified by the law has to have an inner turmoil, because he knows that he can't keep what he says he's trusting in. Brother Stewart went to a holiness school. It was the only one he could go to that was close enough, because he was... The church had called him to be their pastor. He'd shown the obvious gifts of being a pastor, but he said, I've got to go to Bible college, And so he did. And the only one that was close enough so he could pastor the church and get his degree was a holiness school. And the president of that school happened to die while Brother Stewart was there. And he said in the latter days of his death, now this, think about this, man. Holiness school that says you got to do this, you got to do that, or you can't do this, you can't do that, or you lose your salvation. As he was dying, he didn't know whether he was saved or lost. What a terrible position to be in. You know, his doctrines had led him away from the truth. And if he didn't know whether he was saved or lost, he was lost. Because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are His. Okay? And that's sad. Think about a man that goes to school, becomes a minister, arises in the ranks to, you know, pastoring churches and so forth, and then becomes the president of a Bible college. And as he's dying, he doesn't know whether he's saved or lost. Talk about an infinite tragedy. And it's happening all the time. Because, you know, and I don't say this thinking that we're better than anybody else. But when I see, and I've been in some pretty large churches. When I was going to Bible college, I attended one that had over 3,000 people in Sunday school. You know. And that was on a regular basis. And one of the sister churches in Detroit, Michigan, had 10,000. Yeah, big churches. And many of those men that I listened to of them preached, and they were great orators. They could mesmerize an audience. Many of them had been Shakespearean actors. Yeah. But I got very little doctrine from any of them. Yeah. And there were a few professors that I know were saved. But I think that most of the professors that I said under going to Bible college were lost. Yeah. They were all caught up in the works of their own hands. And there's none of us that are saved that way. We're saved by God's grace through faith. They used to tell us, if you haven't won a soul to Christ this week, you're backslidden. Well, did you ever read about Noah? He preached for 120 years and didn't have anybody outside of his own household saved. His three sons and their wives, and his wife and himself. You know, ministered for 120 years building that ark. And so eight righteous people entered that ark. And you wonder why all those animals got along in that ark? Yeah, there wasn't any such thing as a carnivorous animal until after the flood. That's when the animal, they were all herbivorous. They all ate herbs prior to the flood. After the flood, God changed things. Yeah. And so now we have, you know, carnivores, you know, and animals that eat leaves and grass and this and that, you know, vegetable type of things. Okay, let's come back to this. So if a man thinks that he can be saved by the life that he lives, I guarantee you he has an internal warfare. So that's what James addresses here. From whence come wars and fightings, not among you, in you? And look it up in the Greek. Come they not hence, even of your lust? In other words, you think you're saved by the life that you live, but you have all kinds of lust for this and that and everything else. You know, and have not. You kill and desire to have. You know, you don't have to actually murder somebody to be a killer, because he says if you hate somebody without a cause, you've killed them. See? And you desire to have, you know, after all, I'm a rich guy because I'm a faithful preacher. I don't know what that makes me. I've got a house that I paid $17,100 for. Now I'm told it's worth $340,000. No, it's still a $17,100 house. But inflation, you know, just blows everything out of the proportion. I'm paying more for property tax now than I used to pay property tax, the loan, and the interest on the loan. Think of that. That's what you get when you keep re-electing these progressives in Lane County and in Eugene. Okay. So you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. So then you ask and receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. And then he says to them something that would never be said to genuine believers. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world, and we just defined world, you know, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all things that came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which the devil said will make you like God. See? So those things produce what the devil produced, death. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Ways, plural, because there's many religious systems in the world, but they all produce death. Yeah. And then there's biblical Christianity, and there was biblical Judaism. Yeah. And you have to say biblical Judaism and biblical Christianity, because most of the Jews didn't know the Lord either. And most of the people today, and I don't say this with any sense of, you know, glee or I wish that everyone that professes to know Christ actually knew him. You know? But the sad part today is that most churches are entertainment communities. And you get little 15-minute sermonettes for Christianettes. Yeah. And they people call up, want to know about our church. And I started to tell them, I said, no, they say, no, what kind of programs do you have? Yeah. They want somebody to take care of their kids while mom and dad sleep in or whatever. You know. Anyway, he says, the adulterers and adulteresses, turn with me to Jeremiah 13, and we're going to read this whole 13th chapter, and then we'll end with it, and we'll come back to Jeremiah next time. I think I've got just about enough time to do it. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. You know, a girdle at that time, not a girdle to keep your tummy in, girls. It's a garment that goes around the waist. Okay. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to the Euphrates, and hide it there in the hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates, and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. If you bury a girdle or any kind of garment in the dirt, in a hole, and you leave it there long enough, when you bring it out, it might be already decaying. It's certainly going to be dirty, you know. It's not going to be fit to wear, okay? So he did that. Thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah, in verse 9, and the great pride of Jerusalem. See? In other words, they were all caught up in their own self-righteousness. And God is going to say, you can take a perfectly good garment and if you bury it in the earth, and what's the earth reckoned to? Love not the world. Okay. So he says, this evil people, which refuse to hear my words. Okay. Now the Jews claim to be God's chosen people, but they refuse to hear his words, which walk in the imagination of their heart. What is that imagination? There's a way which seemeth right unto a man. And walk after other gods. They followed all of the false gods they were told to utterly destroy the people that worship those gods, to serve them, and to worship them. Shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. The religions of the world are what? Good for nothing. See? Now people would think that's an egotistical statement. But it's the truth of the Word of God. So, he goes on. This evil people, in verse 10, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, and they that they might be unto me a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they would not hear. I'm going to repeat that. But they would not hear. Therefore thou shalt speak unto them this word, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests and the prophets and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, with drunkenness. And over in Isaiah, drunkenness is likened unto following false religions. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye, and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, before he caused darkness, before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turneth into the shadow of death and make it dross or gross darkness. I'm sorry. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. So say unto the kings and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains and as chiefs over thee. Shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered and thy heels made bare. See, Israel didn't protect the truth. The church has been given the responsibility to protect the truth. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? That would be called racism. Or the leopard his spot? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen thine adulteries. See, this is a perfect definition of adultery that James is talking about. I have seen thine adulteries and thy nains, the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills in the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? And of course we know, one day the Jews are going to look upon him whom they pierced and believe and be saved. And in this life we have the opportunity, as we preach the truth of the Word of God, to look upon the truth of the Word of God and allow this, and the Spirit of God will quicken it to our hearts, and we'll receive it and be saved and have an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's not dependent upon us. It's dependent upon believing the Word of God, and only God can quicken it to your heart so that you will believe it. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your Word, and may we be faithful to thee as a faithful wife and not as an adulteress. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.